It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. I want to say thanks to the management at KETR that 3 years ago saw fit to give us, those of us that love the outdoors, our own time on the air each week to talk about hunting, fishing, camping, and all kind of related subjects like that. Today, we're going to go up to Lake Louisville in just about a minute or so, and we're going to visit with guide Kevin McCullough. Now, Kevin owns Downwind Guide Service, and he is an expert at catching fish, and I was up there with him just last week. Fishing's good. We're going to get Kevin with us here in just a second. I want to tell you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. That website is biggame.org. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. That's Sniper, H-A-W-G, lights.com. Hofpire Polaris down in Galway, Texas. That website is www.hpolaris.com. Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com and check it out. And also brought to us by Hot Can. That is www.hot-can.com. Hot drinks, outdoors, whenever and wherever you want them. Folks, as promised, our guest today is Mr. Kevin McCullough, who guides for several species. I thought we would talk today about catching fish during the dog days of summer, which is right now. I mean, I had a fishing trip with Kevin last week and learned some of his tips and tricks, but just a few of them, and I thought we might dwell on that a little bit. Kevin, thank you a lot, buddy, for being with us today.
It's a pleasure being with you, Luke.
I appreciate it. And, you know, you fished all your life, and you've guided for a long time, too. I thought it would help people. Now, you know, during our trip last week, we happened to hit a little cloud cover and lucked out, but we were off the water, mid-morning, which is a smart thing to do because of the heat. It's easy to stay in an air-conditioned office or a car, say, yeah, I'm going to go out there and get them all day, but by when that old sun starts beaming down, you know, you smart people get off the water unless there's an emergency or something, you know?
Yes, sir. I still haven't figured out a way to get that AC in the boat yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now, you're a live bait specialist, but you'll also fish with anything, any kind of baits, artificials or whatever. Now, we got in the top water bite. We got on the lake just about daylight, during the morning. And the top water fish wasn't a strong bite like it has been, but we got in some top water fishing. You like to use just a basic little rooster tail, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do. I just like to use that, try to mimic the shad.
Mm-hmm. So you're matching the hatch, the rooster tail, and of course, I caught some on a little tiny torpedo, you know, a prop-type bait, which will work, but it seemed like that your choice there was what they really did like. And kind of go about how you start the morning off. Say the break of day, you're heading out of the marina or off the boat dock. You want to go try to find some topwater action. So what kind of areas would you be looking for, Kevin?
Generally this time of year in the summertime, the fish generally start out towards the deeper water and by the dam, and then they work towards the shallow water. And generally on the wind-blown points and just areas, sometimes back in the coves, but for the most part, on the lake that I guide on, there started the dam, and then they worked their way up to a big point that we fish mainly out here on the main lake.
Right. And folks, Kevin guides up on Lake Louisville, but the tips that he's going to give you work just as well on any lake that has a healthy population of hybrid stripers and white bass and sand bass. So you get, and that this time of the year, really, Kevin, that topwater bite, the fish may be chasing shad actually throughout the day, really, right?
Yes, they will. And, you know, like when we went fishing, you notice that I saw a few pop the top, but they just weren't going crazy. But those are some of the things you need to really focus on and look for those on those windy days. Look for those the water spraying out of the top of the water, and just kind of don't pass it up. Go up to it and throw in it. You may catch them, you may not, but that's why it's fishing, Luke.
Oh, that's fact. And binoculars. I noticed you kept binoculars handy. That is a key. I've never fished with a good fisherman that fished for open water schooling species. It didn't keep binoculars handy. That's important, isn't it?
It's very important. I mean, even if you can't afford a good pair of binoculars, you can always just get you, you know, a decent pair at your local sporting goods store. Mm-hmm. And always keep an eye out for maybe that one single bird diving. That bird's diving for a reason. He's just not diving down that water just for his health, you know.
He has to catch fish in order to eat breakfast. So yes. he is very serious about finding, and really that's a good point, Kevin. Birds are the truly the fisherman's best friend. Now you've got up to date modern electronics. I mean, you know, you can go to any hump, ridge, point on any lake, and go right to them with the navigation system and the graph, and you can tell what's down there. But still, the birds, I mean, that you can't cover all the water like a flock of gulls or even terns, you know?
Yeah. My favorite bird, Luke, is the actual blue herring. Mm. He never, ever, ever lies, Luke. And if you see a blue herring or a herring going down the water, he's trying to eat the fish. He's not trying to eat the shad. So if you ever see that, folks, get after it. Go get the get in the fish. They're there.
If you see a heron, a blue heron, circling, over the water, he's after something big. He's after the big lunch, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He is, absolutely.
Yeah. Good tips. Very good tips. Now, let's say when the topwater action stops, and it could be a morning bite, or they could turn on at 10 or 11. I mean, there's no way to really pattern when they're going to blow up on top, but it can happen just as well during the day as early morning. But when that ceases and you don't see any more shad popping, you don't see any gulls or any herons working, those fish didn't disappear. They went somewhere. So then what will you do? What's your next move after the topwater stuff is over?
After the topwater deal is over, I generally look for windblown points. This time of year, them fish are cruising. They're going from spot to spot to spot. So what I do, Luke, is I just know the lake and go pick out some windblown spots, and I just work those areas until I find those fish, Luke.
Mm-hmm. And what we were doing is using, live bait, live shad, which is what white bass and hybrids, that's what the game fish eat. It's hard to beat using live shad, isn't it?
It is. That's my go-to bait, Luke.
But the problem is, everybody doesn't have a bait tank that's capable with the filters and the pumps to keep bait alive. It is highly effective. We caught catfish and white bass, you know, on our trip. And folks, you might want to, if you happen to be within range of the Greenville Herald banner, my outdoor column runs in 34 papers around the state, but that's a local one right there. And I have some good information this week on Kevin's fishing and some good tips from Kevin on catching fish during the dog days of summer. So anyway, if you get a chance and you need more information, you can certainly get it in this week's outdoor column there. Now, Kevin, say you don't have the bait tank and or the wherewithal to keep shad alive or to catch shad. Slabs and inline baits, I mean, they'll work too, won't they?
They will work too. My favorite bait this time of year is using that big, you know, ounce and a half silver dollar slab. That's my go-to bait. And on, like, cloudy days, I'll use a chartreuse. Mm-hmm. Or sunny days, I use a white. And sometimes you just got to play with the bait, different colors between white and chartreuse. That's the only color that I ever use other than my rooster tails when they're on top. It's a chrome blade with a shad-colored body. And I just work at it and play with it until I find out what they really want.
I've never fished with a guide that I didn't quiz them. Kevin, and in my career as an old outdoors writer, I dare say I probably fished with, I don't have a clue, 200, 300, maybe twice that many guides, I don't know, but a bunch. And when I'm fishing, like with you, you know, we were using live shad, which made it easy, you know.
Yeah.
I like that. The first thing that I ask is, how do they want it today? You know, and you don't really know until you experiment. They might want it just bounced off the bottom. They might want it ripped up through the water column and allowed to flutter back down. But mm-hmm. It seems that the open water schooling species, striper, you know, hybrid stripers, white bass. It seems like from almost from day to day in the winter, they want it real slow, you know, right on the bottom. But
yes, they
you do,
do yes,
have
they
to
do.
Experiment with them, don't you?
Yes, you do. And generally this time of year, a known tactic, especially coming from Lake Texoma, it works anywhere else. I've done it. You find a big school of fish on your graph, drop it to the bottom. Sometimes they want you to burn it up to the top. Sometimes they want it reeled up real slow. But what's going good for me here lately is they just want it really bounce real slow off the bottom. That's what's been working really good for us, Luke.
You bet. Folks, we're visiting with guide Kevin McCullough, and we're talking about catching open water schooling specie fish like hybrids and stripers and white bass this time of year when they're out in the open water. Now, Kevin, one thing, the thermocline is very important. You know, that's the change where cold water, or we'll say cold, maybe just a degree or two cooler water from the bottom meets the top. But you can tell with live shad, if you get down below that, they won't make it, will they? There's not enough oxygen for them.
That's a great point you brought up there, Luke. Folks, if you're going to use live shad, and I encourage you if you get out in the water to use live shad if you can. They're a hard bait to keep alive, but once you get it down, it's easy from there. But it's good that you mentioned the thermocline. If you're fishing in the water and you drop your baits down and you're bringing them up and they're dying, well, say you're fishing in 30 foot of water and you're fishing 1 to 2 foot off the bottom and you bring them up after 5-10 minutes, your bait's dead. Well, there's no oxygen down there. So what you can do is figure out, drill it up 3 or 4 turns off the bottom. It may be 1 foot or 2 foot of difference, but them fish are going to hang above that thermocline because there's no oxygen in their loop.
Below it. Good point. And one other tip that I've seen that actually you used, and you can be on good sonar, good graph that's very detailed, and you can be on, say, a submerged hump or ledge that might be maybe the top of it's 12, 15 foot, and it might fall off into 30 foot of water. You can be watching that, and you can see fish hanging on the bottom. Now, folks, you can take a fishing pole, and you can churn up the surface of the water. And I know when you were doing that, I was watching the graph a couple of times, Kevin. I could see the fish coming up. That's like ringing the dinner bell for them, especially this time of year, isn't it?
Absolutely. How I like to tell my clients, you know, they ask me all the time, Kevin, what in the world are you doing? I said, well, you watch. I'm going to beat on this water, and they're going to come right to us. I mean, they're like, oh, that's not going to happen. I said, well, explain to me why that works, Kevin. And here's what I tell them. I said, you know, back when we were in school, and it's kind of like somebody got in a fight, you know, and everybody wanted to come and see what the action was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can describe it to you. There's a fight on top of the water, and they want to come see what it is.
They're predatory creatures. They make their living eating littler critters, you know, shad, perch, whatever, minnows.
Yes.
And they have that innate ability to sense that, hey, there's churning water. That means something's up there eating. I know that's what, you know, they're not thinking all this out, but that's bound to be what it is, you know. So that's a good point. Take an old rod, fishing rod, and take two hands, and, you know, you've got a system where you make a little short figure eight and just start really churn that water up. It works, though, if they're holding on structure. It's a good
point.
Folks,
don't be afraid to do it. You know,
yeah.
Growing up as a kid, everybody said, be quiet in the boat. Let me tell you, that's not the case.
Yep. Y'all
get out there and get you an old rod and whip that water and watch some rods go down.
Well, Kevin, we are just about out of time, buddy. I want you to do this. And, folks, I want you to grab your pencil and notepad. I'm hooking you up with a very knowledgeable guide today, and I want you to use him as a contact point for information. If you want to go fishing, give him a call. The website, Kevin, is what? And then a phone number for you.
Absolutely, Luke. My website is Downwind Guide Service, and that's DOWNWIND guideservice.com. Or you can give us a call at 817-909-1953. Again, my name is Kevin McCullough at 817-909-1953.
Well, Kevin, thanks very much. We'll get you back again soon. And, folks, we are out of time. I want to remind you, you can go online to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do this week. Until this time next week, be safe in the outdoors and have fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.